I guess maybe the simple story. And it goes like this, that a friend of mine was talking to her neighbor over the fence. And they were chatting for a while, and my friend was talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the neighbor said this. He said, "You know, I don't believe in God, but I am afraid of him." Okay, now think about that for a minute. I don't believe in God, but I am afraid of him. And now, you won't often find neighbors quite as honest as that. But there are many who will say, "You know, I don't believe in God." But deep down in their hearts, we all recognize that after death, there's judgment. That is the most logical conclusion. That is built deep down into the heart of each one. After death, there's judgment. I don't believe in God, but I do fear him. Most of the time when you hear sermons, the sermons are on the subject of the love of God. Do you like hearing about the love of God? The answer is yes, we do. We like hearing about it. It's wonderful. Imagine the God who made everything loves even me. If I were God, I better not say that. It would be possible, wouldn't it, for there to be a God who would love something other than me. But God does love me. And because he loves me, he teaches me in the Bible that I am to fear him. And so this morning, our subject is not the love of God, but the fear of God. Because of the love of God, the fear of God is very important. But this morning, we're going to consider the sobering, the challenging, the convicting thought of the fear of God. So let's pray and ask the Lord to help us, and then we'll get into that subject. Lord, we want to thank you that there is a God who loves us, and in your great love and wisdom, you have told us that we must learn to fear you. And it would be a terrible thing, Lord, if we were to go through life and not fear those things that we should fear, especially to go through life and not fear God. And so we pray that you'll help us as we seek to understand this theme this morning and see what the Bible says about it, and just help us as we go, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in the pew in front of you, there are a few Bibles, not very many. One way or another, I'd like you to be able to follow along this morning. We'll get some verses that'll be easy to find, some hard to find. If you've got a neighbor who's got a Bible open, you read with them. If not, then there's a Bible in the pew in front of you. Just pull it out, and you'll be able to follow along with us. The book of Hebrews is where we're going to start. At the end of your Bible, Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to refer to many verses this morning as time allows. And it's Hebrews chapter 10. We will, as we go, refer to these many verses. You'll be able to look many of them up. You might not get them all, but you will get some. So, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 31. And it, well, I guess we better read verse 30 for context. It says, "For we know him," that is God, "that said, 'Vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord.'" And again, "The Lord shall judge his people." Judgment day. And then the next line says, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." When you meet people who are preparing for Judgment Day, they're usually afraid. And I can't tell all the stories that I could tell, but nobody likes to get a letter from a lawyer that says, "I'm going to sue you." And nobody likes to realize that there is coming a day when all the secrets of man will be made known, and the judge will do what is right. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, who is the judge. The Bible talks much about fearfulness of God, the fear of God. The book of Proverbs is one of those books. So turn in your Bibles back to the book of Proverbs. It's sort of in the middle of your Bible. Proverbs chapter 1, and it just talks a lot, the book of Proverbs, about the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 1 and verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning." There are a lot of things that are at the end, but the fear of the Lord is at the beginning. You take a little child, and the little child has got to learn to respect his mother and his father, got to learn ultimately to respect the school teacher and the policeman and ultimately everybody and everything else. It takes a while to learn fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning. That line, "the fear of the Lord is the beginning," is repeated many times, as we will see. Oftentimes we start at the wrong end, don't we, in our thinking. But the fear of the Lord, for human beings, is the beginning. I think maybe that the psychologists of the world might say that we approach things from a different direction. They often say that positive thinking is the best, and the positive thinking is a great way to end up. But sometimes negative thinking is very good. Don't do that. And we've got to learn, don't do that. And we've mentioned it before. The Ten Commandments say often, "Thou shalt not." Why do you not do what the Bible says we should not do? And the answer is because of the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning. Bob Murdoch, who was Sunday school superintendent here many years ago, used to say something like this: "Understanding can wait. Obedience is now." That's the fear of the Lord is the beginning. What is involved in the fear of the Lord? Go down to verse 27. Actually, verse 26. "If we refuse," verse 24, "because I called and you refused wisdom," says. Verse 26, "I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock you when your fear cometh." When your fear cometh as a desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, the things that you could fear, they could come upon you, and you wouldn't be able to respond if you learned not to fear the Lord. Wisdom is to fear the Lord. Over to chapter 8. Just flip over the pages. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13. Proverbs 8 and 13. "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil." That's what the fear of the Lord is all about. If you say, I fear the Lord, I'm going to try to seek and follow him, what's it going to start with? It's going to start with hating evil. Evil is wrong. Lots of people in the world tragically like evil. And the Proverbs talks about them too. But the fear of the Lord, how would you know if you feared the Lord? Well, you would hate evil because he says evil is wrong. And so you respect that and you fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. It's also to hate pride and arrogancy and the evil way and a froward mouth. All of these things the Lord hates, and because of that, we are to fear him. He hates it. We hate it. We are to love what he loves. He's God. We are to hate what he hates. He's a jealous father. He has a plan for us. He has a purpose, and we are to love what he loves, and we are to hate what he hates. Chapter 9 and verse 10. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And the knowledge that we would learn would teach us the wisdom that would follow. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And knowledge of the holy is understanding. If you knew lots of other things and you didn't know about God, you wouldn't have understanding. You wouldn't have the breadth of understanding. Chapter 10 and verse 27. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days. That's very interesting, isn't it? The fear of the Lord prolongeth days. I was speaking to a man, and his son loved the excitement and the challenge and the folly of life. Amazingly, two stories, one of which is the story of the man who said that he didn't believe God, he just feared him. His story is this, that he had a son. And he said to his son, don't do that. Don't go out of your way. Stop doing that. That's reckless behavior. Don't do that. And he said to his neighbor across the same fence, my son wouldn't listen to me. He died in a motorcycle accident a few months ago. Wouldn't listen. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days. I was going to tell you the other story, very, very similar. And that man just said, I prioritize excitement, and I don't worry about things. He's just as dead as the other man. The fear of the Lord is very, very wise. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge, and it prolongs days. Let's keep reading chapter 14, verse 26. Chapter 14, verse 26. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. In the days of difficulty, you don't know what to do. The fear of the Lord will give you strong confidence, and it'll protect you. Fear of the Lord is a wonderful thing. We talk about the fear of fire. You learn the fear of fire when you're young, don't you? Oftentimes you learn it by playing with a match and getting the end of your finger just singed a bit. Ooh, you say, that hurt. And that's good that you learn that. If you learn it, getting your finger singed a bit, that'll save getting a whole lot of the rest of you burned. The fear of the Lord, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. I'll be all right in this storm. All will be well because, you see, I'm following the Lord. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. Chapter 15. And verse 16, what's it say? Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. What's the implication of that verse? If you fear the Lord, you're going to have a limited amount of trouble. The other people are going to have lots of trouble. They might have lots of riches to go along with it. But who wants lots of riches and lots of trouble? The fear of the Lord is better than many riches. Verse 33, what's it say? He that refuseth instruction despiseth his... I'm reading the wrong verse. 33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. How would you know what the fear of the Lord is? It's a hard word to explain. It doesn't mean you say you run around scared of God all the time. That's not it. Any more than the fear of your mother and father is that you run around and you're afraid of them all the time. You love them, but when they say no, you say, yep. And one of the families that's in our midst today had a father that used to say something like this: when I say jump, your responsibility is to say how high. on the way up. Okay, so on the way up, you say, how high? Okay, you're to jump, and on the way up, you say, now how high do you want me to keep going? That's respect. Now that particular family was filled with love. But you see, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And we are to be wise. Before honor is humility. That's very interesting, isn't it? The fear of the Lord would teach humility, wouldn't it? How would you learn to be humble? Well, you would be humble before the Lord. I believe sincerely that if the Lord Jesus Christ were to walk into this room today, and he were to single you or me out with a specific instruction and say, please, would you do this for me? I don't think there's one of us in here who would say no. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. Before honor is the humility of obedience. It says, yes, I will do that. The problem is the Lord is giving many instructions to us today. The problem is we just don't see him. Therefore, we find it easier maybe to dismiss his request of us. Chapter 16, verse 6 says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged or washed away. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Why do they depart from evil? Because of the fear of the Lord. And that, of course, is a tragedy for our society because we have removed the fear of the Lord. And therefore, we have removed the reason for departing from evil for our society. Consequently, our society is plunging itself deeper and deeper into evil. Chapter 19 and verse 23. What do we know about the fear of the Lord? Verse 23 says, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life. That's exciting. And he that hath it shall abide satisfied. That's the promise of God. God says, you fear me and you will be satisfied. You fear me, I'll give you a long life, good life, blessings abundant. You shall not be visited with evil. Lovely promises associated with the fear of the Lord. Just one more, chapter 22. One more from the book of Proverbs, chapter 22 and verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Would you like that? Riches and honor and life. You get them from the fear of the Lord. Oh, did you remember now? The fear of the Lord is the beginning. And so we've taken a look at what the book of Proverbs says about the fear of the Lord. We're not going to get all the way through our subject this morning. I want to read, though, four verses from the New Testament, because the fear of the Lord is not simply an Old Testament concept. Book of Romans, chapter 11, and I'm going to go quickly from now on because of that clock. Romans 11 and verse 20 reads like this. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear, for if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest also he spare not thee. What is your role before the Lord in the context of the church of God and believing the truth of God? And the answer is that we have been brought into great closeness and fellowship with the Lord. Fear because of that wonderful relationship. Don't just take it lightly. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians 7. The New Testament also encourages, demands the fear of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, all the promises of God, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. What happens when we see the promises of God? We say, oh, all these promises are here. They're wonderful. I've got to make sure that I lead a clean life and perfect holiness in the fear of God? How do we live the life we ought to live? How do we perfect holiness in our lives? We do it by the fear of God. Over to Ephesians, book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Ephesians 5. And verse 21 says, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. And I have put down the wrong verse there, and I apologize. Did somebody find the one I should have found? Okay, we're going to go on to the next one, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28. You'll just have to take it from me that the verse that I was going to refer you to is a good verse. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28 says, wherefore, we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. You get excited about that? We're going into God's wonderful kingdom, and it's going to last forever, and it will never be moved. It's not a kingdom subject to re-election every 4 years, subject to takeover by the unscrupulous on any occasion, or even an army. We are going to receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace. I like that. The Lord says, listen, you're going to have kingdom, and I'm going to give you all kinds of good things in that kingdom. Let's take that grace whereby we may serve God acceptably. How? With reverence and godly fear. That's how we approach the kingdom. That's how we will live in the kingdom. Perfect love is going to cast out fear on that occasion, but we're going to highly respect our God then as we do now. All right, well, that's just a little bit of a background there. I want to turn you to the Old Testament now. We're going to look a little bit at the Pentateuch, and we're going to look just at selected verses. But I thought you might want to see one of the first verses to talk about the fear of the Lord. And it's in the book of Exodus, chapter I guess it is. It's Exodus chapter 18 and verse 21. The story is that Moses is talking to his father-in-law about the first or the introduction of government in the affairs of man. The children of Israel were a big people. They had to govern themselves somehow. So Jethro says, listen, you're going to have to charge leadership. You're going to have to appoint good leadership. And so let's read this verse. It says, moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. Okay? So we live in an age of multitudinous government officials. When I was studying 50 years ago, I was told somewhere that if you stood on the top of the Empire State Building and just looked around, you could see as many as, I think, 300 different levels of government just around the Empire State Building. Municipal governments and state governments and county governments and school boards and this and that, and just hundreds and hundreds of levels of government. Governments over thousands, governments over tens. What would be the qualification of a good governor, of a good leader? What would be the first qualification of a good leader? It's very simple. He would be one who fears the Lord. I wonder if all those running for political office in the United States in the next few weeks would list that as the primary qualification. What about all the governments in Canada? Is this the primary qualification? Yes. Especially it would be true, therefore, relating to the family, and it certainly would be true relating to the Church of God. The first, the priority command is, let's read it again, moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people, able men, such as fear God. That's the first quality for leadership. Well, that speaks to all our hearts, doesn't it? And says, listen, if I'm going to fulfill the responsibilities that I have in life, I'd better be there. I had better do that. All right. Well, if you go to the book of Leviticus, and we won't take time to read the verses, I was amazed that the concept of fearing the Lord in the book of Leviticus is you must never take advantage of other people. Strange, but that's what it is. And I think the book of Leviticus zeroes in almost exclusively on that one theme. If there were a blind man and he couldn't see, would you cheat him when you give him change? You couldn't do that, could you? Why? Could he tell? Not for a while, but he ultimately could tell eventually. See, you wouldn't cheat because of the fear of the Lord. If there were a poor man amongst you, would you take advantage of his poverty? No. As a matter of fact, you would be gracious and liberal toward him, and you would give him more than he deserves. Why? Because you fear the Lord. Regardless of his circumstances, you would fear him. I was kind of humorously affected when I read that the third category is the hoar head. That's the man who's so old that his hair is actually gray. And you're supposed to fear, you're supposed to honor him because you fear the Lord too. So now take that to heart. There are several of us around here who are old enough, and so you'd fear. Isn't that interesting? The Lord says, this is the reason why you never take advantage of the weak and the disadvantaged. You would fear the Lord. There's another theme that runs, I guess, through. It runs through the book of Deuteronomy. And it basically says the theme is hear and fear. You learn a lot, you fear because you hear. And you would hear things that you ought to hear in order that you might fear. The concept in the book of Deuteronomy, we won't take time to show it, but the concept is in justice and in judgment. You would always execute justice wisely so that those who hear about the justice being carried out would fear and not do it. You would never pervert justice, because if you pervert justice, people will hear and not fear. Have you ever thought that there might be some people who do bad things in our society and they're called before the judge and they're not met with justice, so they go and do it again? I was speaking to a policeman a while ago. Actually, I was speaking to several policemen on this subject a while ago. And I said, why are these people always robbing? Walked out of the house one day, there was a lovely Mercedes-Benz on the street, parked in front of my house with no tires on it. I said, what was it? The policeman was there. I walked over to him and I said, how come this car hasn't have any tires on it? Oh, they said they stole it last night, drove it up here, took all the tires off and went away. I said, well, who would do a thing like that? I said, well, the drug addicts, they do it all the time. I said, well, why aren't they put in prison? Oh, the drug addicts know they're not going to have to. There's no justice. That's the policeman said. There's no justice. So what do the bad guys do? They hear and they don't fear because there's no justice. Now, the Lord says in the book of Leviticus, in the book of Deuteronomy, rather, you must make sure that justice is carried out so that those who hear fear. So much so, the book of Deuteronomy actually says this. It says, if you've got a rebellious son, and he won't hear and he won't obey, then you bring him to the priests, the people, and if he is a rebellious son, you take stones, and your family takes stones, and that rebellious son is to be stoned, that all the people will hear and fear. How foolish for a child not to fear his parents. How foolish for you and me not to fear God. And so the concept is repeated in the book of Deuteronomy. Make sure justice is carried out so that people will hear and fear. But Deuteronomy also says, actually we'll forget that next point because of time. My question, I guess, is how do you get the fear of the Lord? If you wanted to fear the Lord, we should all fear the Lord. But, you know, some do and some don't. How would you learn to fear the Lord? And just a few simple points. Number one, you would learn to fear the Lord by reading the Bible. And you read the Bible, and you read the Bible, and you get like me when I was reading the Bible as a boy, and I read about the fact that the rebellious son would be stoned by his parents. I said, what? Is that in the Bible? That couldn't be that bad. And I read it again, and that's exactly what it says. We never read that that was actually fulfilled. Never read of anybody who had it done to them. They may have. That's God's command. Well, when I read that, I said, Harold, you better listen to your mother. Okay, enough of this yes, but stuff. I'd better learn to obey. All right, how are you going to learn it? Why, the Lord says this. He says, if there's going to be a king, and I don't know if I can find this verse for you. It's Deuteronomy 17, 19. I'm going to talk about it. But it basically says that if there's a king, his responsibility is to make a copy of the first five books of this Bible, write it out himself, and read in it every day in order that he might fear the Lord. How are you going to learn to fear the Lord the way you ought to fear the Lord? You're going to learn to fear the Lord by reading his word. And if you don't read his word regularly, you're not going to fear the Lord enough to get all those wonderful blessings on your account. The children of Israel were to get together once every 7 years. They were to have a large, I'm going to call it a convocation. It was at the Feast of Tabernacles. They were all to be at Jerusalem at the time. And the book of Deuteronomy was to be read out loud to them. And they were all to listen to the book of Deuteronomy. So the other day I said, I wonder how long that would take. So I started reading the book of Deuteronomy, a few pages, and did a little multiplication in my head and so on. I figure that it would take 3 hours to listen to the book of Deuteronomy. Chapter 31 and verses 12 and 13 teach this. 3 hours that the whole congregation listened to the book of Deuteronomy. Why should they do it? That they might hear and fear the Lord. How are you going to learn to fear the Lord? Why, you're going to listen to his word. And listening to his word in the context of everybody else listening to his word is kind of important, isn't it? It's important for you to read the Bible on your own. You'll learn to fear the Lord that way. But it's important to hear the truth of God in the context of many. That's why we come to church. One of the many reasons we come to a church meeting. We come to hear the Lord together because there is a communal response. And there's an impact of what is said on the individual because of the community. There was a man by the name of Adolf Hitler. He got elected. How do you do it? He got all the people together and he gave a marvelous oration, I guess is the word I'm looking for. And some of the people even forgot to use their brains. They just got caught up in the emotion of the moment. And they said, this has got to be wonderful. It was terrible. How much more wonderful would it be if they all got together and the oration was from God and they all said, this is truth and we will follow. And there would be a community of response. You keep coming to meetings of the people of God. We grow together. How would you learn the fear of the Lord? The first way you would learn the fear of the Lord is by the Word of God. But the second way that you would learn the fear of the Lord is by the warning of God. You ever learn something because you were scared silly? Yep. Okay. Wow, that. Wow, I better not do that. And one day the Lord said to the people, I'm going to have to tell you what I want you to know. I'm going to give you 10 commandments, Exodus chapter 19. I'm going to give you these 10 commandments, and I want you all to come before me. I want you all to come to the Mount Sinai. It'll be 3 days from now. You come to Mount Sinai, you stand there, and I am going to speak to you. And he spoke to them all right. But in the context of speaking to them, he was on the mountain. He sent thunder. Thunder ever scared you? Yeah. And lightning. Sometimes that scares you. He sent thunder and lightning. And then he had a trumpet. And he had the trumpet that blew extremely loud. Now that'll scare you. And then he came down on the mountain in a heavy, heavy smoke, the smoke of a furnace. And people said, what's going on? And then the mountain began to shake like an earthquake. Only some earthquakes, you know, go on for 2 or 3 seconds. And some of them go on for longer than that. And this particular earthquake is not described as an earthquake. It's described as the mountain trembling because it just kept on trembling and trembling and trembling and trembling. And the people were so terrorized by the whole thing, they ran to Moses chapter 20 and they said, don't speak to us anymore. If God speaks to us anymore, we'll die. That's how afraid they were. And Moses said, now this is why he did it. He did this so that you might learn to fear him. The Lord ever spoken to you? If he has spoken to you with a warning, would you make sure you learn to fear him because of that warning? God speaks in warnings. And we won't go through all the other instances and references to that. Actually, they're found, many of them, in the book of Acts. God did very powerful things in the book of Acts. He took a man by the name of Ananias and Sapphira, and he slew them both in one day just because they told a lie. Wow, the people said. And they feared the Lord greatly. Is the fear of the Lord important? Yes. Is the fear of the Lord good? Yes. How do you get the fear of the Lord? You get the fear of the Lord from the Word of God. You get the fear of the Lord. You learn the fear of the Lord from the warnings of God. What happens to people who refuse to modify their behavior when there are warnings? Okay. And the answer is the next warning is worse, or the next warning is final. And there is no. The end comes, there's no further warning. The love of God is marvelous. The fear of the Lord is beginning, and the love of God, the fear of the Lord is the beginning, the love of God follows, and the blessings of God follow the fear of the Lord. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning. And so we must all say, Lord, by God's grace, I want to fear you and follow you in order that I can get all the blessings that flow. Lord, we want to thank you again this morning. Periodically we feel, Lord, we just got to teach these foundational truths. They're not always as easy to learn, but they are important. And Lord, we pray that all of us will learn to respect, to revere, to love, and to fear the Lord, to walk in his ways, that the blessings that we've read of will be ours and that we might enjoy them. We think of the people in the book of the Acts, Lord, and the theme in Acts is they feared the Lord and the blessing came upon them greatly. And Lord, we would like to fear you so much that you would bless us abundantly, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're going to have